Hello and welcome to Around the Houses, the ultimate guide for anyone looking to buy overseas property or indeed existing property owners that live outside the UK. Brought to you by UK Mortgages, a partner practice of St James's Place. Every episode will feature property experts discussing a range of topics including tax, lending and market overviews, helping you make better, more informed decisions. I hope you enjoy it. My guest today is James Puddle, who is founder and CEO of One Global Property Services. James is based in Singapore, but they have offices through Asia. James, welcome.
Hi, Neil. How are you doing? Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. How's the weather?
Yeah, all fine this end, thanks. All fine. Very hot and humid here in Singapore, as always.
All round the year 365, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly, just a bit more rain sometimes, but other than that, it's always the same.
All right, well, maybe let's start with telling me a little bit about One Global, who you are, what you're up to, what do you do?
Yeah, sure, thank you. So so I founded One Global in early 2017. Prior to that, I was based in London, working in the residential development sector. The last six years I was there, I worked for Stratton Parker in their residential development business, and then relocated to Singapore just off the back of Brexit to set up One Global. So we are primarily a business that focuses on international sales, residential international sales, specialist focus in the UK. We also market product from Australia and from Thailand, but really our kind of our specialist focus is in the UK. We also have a local sales and leasing business here in Singapore, which is very core to our business, servicing anyone really here in Singapore that's looking to buy or rent, or anyone that's relocating to Singapore. So we are now six offices across the globe. We've got our head office here in Singapore, which is where our heritage is and we started. We've got regional offices in Hong Kong, which is our second biggest office. We have a small office in Kuala Lumpur. And more recently, we opened offices last year in Dubai and Cape Town. And we also have an office in London as well. So we are now about 45 staff across the business. We also have a private office team, which is again headquartered here in Singapore and in Hong Kong. So we've got representation in Hong Kong and Singapore, and representation in London. And that's very important part of the business in growing. We set that up last year to cater for high net worth individuals, or might be looking to retain us to have a specific property requirement in the UK. So that might be buying a luxury house in central London, all the way through to looking to buy investment product on a multi-unit basis, and that we plan to grow over the next few years.
So you've come out of the corporates and set up, which is now probably one of the leading independent property agencies, certainly in Asia and maybe the Middle East as well. What was it that inspired you to start this up?
Look, I always quite fancied doing something on my own, going out on my own. I didn't know what that was going to look like at the time. I mean, inspiration for it really was I saw a bit of a gap in the market here in Singapore. I was very much enjoying what I was doing in London, but then Brexit happened, and I was fortunate enough to spend most of my career traveling. So I essentially, my job in London was working for Stratton Parker, who didn't have international offices all over the world, like some of our competition, but needed the ability to sell our products. So I spent that time traveling Asia, and my remit was Asia and the Middle East, building up a network of partners to work with. So I very much enjoyed doing that. It gave me the ability to build my experience and network. Then 2017 came, and I think my wife would have been divorced quite soon after getting married and having children, because I spent most of my life on an aeroplane, and my wife is half Singaporean as well, so we've got lots of family here. So that was the kind of the logic, really. The timing was linked to that and Brexit, and I saw a bit of an opportunity, really. I think quite a lot of my peers and people in London thought I was a bit mad at the time. You know, why are you moving to Singapore to set up a real estate business? But literally did that, resigned, moved the family out here within 3 months, just me and my laptop. And it's been, you know, it's been a great journey. I mean, it's had its bumps along the way, but it's been a great journey so far, and we're really enjoying what we're doing. It's been brilliant to create a business of like-minded people outside of the corporate world.
I don't know about you, but I mean, I left the UK 21 years ago, and it seemed to be a bigger deal to other people than it actually was to me. And it was maybe further down the track when I actually understood the gravity of how it would impact on people's lives. I've certainly never regretted it, but I do think you get to a certain point in your life, don't you, where you just think it's now or never, because you're putting so many roots into the ground. My oldest were 2 and 4 when I left the UK, and once they start with the schools and everything, it becomes very difficult, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. That was another thing for us. You know, I had very young kids. One was two and a half at the time. The other one was literally just born, actually. We thought better to do it now and start the journey. I mean, you're right. I mean, you're either kind of one or the other, aren't you? You're either in the UK or you decide to take the expat path and do it. We've enjoyed it so far.
Yeah, I think the fact that you are on the ground, I've certainly found that myself, that you're walking in the client's shoes, and there is an authenticity about what you do and the product that you're offering, as opposed to people flying in and flying out. I think certainly locals in Hong Kong and Singapore have far greater levels of trust in terms of the fact that they could see you on a Monday as well as on a weekend. And, you know, those that get on planes and go back, I mean, obviously they have good relationships, but there's not that continuity.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I completely agree. And being here on the ground as well, I mean, that's one thing that I've really underestimated, I suppose, that but have found. I mean, as being here, and, you know, I used to do the consultancy side and everything else in London and bring these projects to the market. But actually, I think from our developer clients' point of view as well, actually being here on the ground rather than, you know, us liaising with a team overseas and providing advice, both on the consumer side but also our developer clients, I think that's really been quite valuable, being here in Asia and being on the pulse, knowing what our clients need and want and where the market's moving. So that's been really, really useful.
So what would you say, James, is the difference between a UK property agent and an overseas one?
Fundamentally, I suppose, you know, you're dealing with a different type of person with a different type of requirements. So I know that in a UK context, obviously property is sold completed in terms of resales and off plan. But I think being the mindset is very different from investors over here, and obviously that trust component is really important. They most of the time they can't go and see the property, or they're buying at a very early stage, and they're having that reliance and trust on the advice you're giving, you know, on the other side of the world. And that's become even more important on the basis of what's gone on over the last year. You know, that inability now for anyone to travel. Previously our clients could just get on an aeroplane and go over and see before they commit. They weren't doing that all the time, but now that global travel is just not there. So that's become even more important and valuable for us being out here on the ground.
Feels like there's been a step change over the last year and a half. Post the Brexit decision at the end of June 2016, the market seemed to tail off a little bit, even drop in certain areas. But it seems since the government put the stamp duty holiday in the UK that things have been moving at a great pace. And from what I'm seeing on the ground, certainly from buyers in Hong Kong at the moment, is that certainly for secondhand property, they're finding it harder and harder to actually secure anything. What's your view of the UK market at the moment?
Yeah, no, it's very true. Look, I think it's a mixed picture. I think that, I mean, particularly if we look at last year, the year started off very well off the back of the general election the year before. Then obviously we got to, you know, started to get momentum in the year. The market was really picking up off the back of a long and uncertain period. Then we get to March and the world almost stopped turning for sort of 3 or 4 months whilst everyone got to grips with what was going on. So transactionally, I mean, the property market closed anyway, and everything was just suspended. Then we get to sort of June, July time. People are coming out of the first lockdowns. The market started to really pick up. Then you had, as you quite rightly said, the government intervention in terms of introducing the stamp duty holiday. And that's when we saw a real change, particularly out here in Hong Kong and Singapore, where investors were looking for, or mostly looking to buy, you know, a year, 2 years off plan. There was a huge sea change in that. And then everyone sort of gravitated towards completed or near completed product to benefit from that. So that's been a real change. I think there's been a lot of frustrations, hasn't there? I mean, particularly on your side as well. And there's been a huge bottleneck that's come with that. And that's why the government then subsequently had to extend that, because everyone wanted to buy in, but then you've got this complete bottleneck throughout the process. Has certainly been affected, and actually that was doing relatively well towards the end of last year. The market became very saturated, but that's really dropped off this year, and I think that's a combination of things to do with the changes in the extra 2% in terms of stamp duty, but also I think global travel. You know, last year there were restrictions between Asia and the UK, but then you had obviously that everything kick off towards the end of the year in the UK, and then the government in the UK introducing more restrictions. So I think psychologically the demand is still there, and aspiration to buy at the higher end of the market, but because people can't travel either way, I think until that kind of loosens up, that top end of the market is going to be quite challenging.
So you've essentially, because of the challenges over the last year and a half, as you say, with travel, you've become the eyes and ears of the developers on the ground in the UK, because there is no ability for them to fly out at the moment.
Exactly. Yeah, there is no ability. So that's had its challenges, and I would say managing their aspirations as well. You know, managing their aspirations and feeding back that information has been very valuable for them to try and give them a insight as to what's been going on. And because of the fluid situation with COVID, whether that's Hong Kong, Singapore, UK, or globally, you know, lockdowns, everything opening up, you know, that's had its challenges as well, and everyone's had to be quite reactive to that. You know, as and when things loosen up, people's ability to, you know, whether it's hosting events or whatever it might be, there's been no continuity in anything, so it's been very difficult compared to a normal landscape.
So the UK market feels hot at the moment, but what challenges, in your view, do overseas investors face in terms of getting on the ladder in UK property at the moment?
I think that there's several things. One being that at the moment the domestic market is flying. You know, the domestic market is flying, whether that's the stamp duty or whether that's help to buy, you know, things improving in terms of everyone coming out of lockdowns. And there is, and out here in the market, that's not really being perceived as well. So what we're finding is where a lot of our investors are perhaps offering to purchase, you know, they're putting in an offer on a property, we're finding that bridge quite hard to close in certain instances, particularly in the Hong Kong market, where there's been a huge a saturation in terms of the amount of product and everyone relying on that market. So I think from an investor's perspective, there's that. There is also, you know, quality of product, I think, is quite important. There's you know, everyone is bringing their product to the market. So I think from an investor's perspective, looking at that, obviously financing has become a lot tighter and a lot more difficult. So that's a big consideration. And I would say, you know, because there is new product, there's old product, it's making sure that you're buying in at the right price, not being led down the route of just buying something because it's massively discounted, perhaps, when actually looking at what's around it, looking at where the value is. You know, it might be you're paying something that's full asking price versus being discounted, but actually the true value is there. So I think that's a consideration as well. And you know, making sure you've got the right advisors, getting the right advice. It's a it's a more complex landscape than it once was, whether that's taxation as well. So, you know, that's important.
Yeah, we spoke to one of your clients yesterday in terms of finance, and it sounds like he's getting a great deal on a scheme in Birmingham with a unit that just seems to have come back to market. But of course, one of the challenges with that, as you say, around the advice is he's making sure that they can get the finance. Sometimes with the completed schemes, a lot of the lenders have satisfied their appetite. But as you say, there's often ways of getting around that. And certainly the client yesterday had a lot of unused equity and other properties that we can guide them with. But I think the ability to advise people on the ground face to face, especially at the moment, is a lot better than relying on somebody in the UK. I would have thought 7 or 8 hours time difference away.
Yeah, because there's a lot of frustration, isn't there, that comes with that. I mean, you know, a lot of our clients, whether they're dealing with the conveyancing process or whatever it might be, I mean, that's been another real difficulty is the fact that a lot of the conveyancing solicitors haven't been able to travel like they used to. So, you know, that's added complications for our clients buying property and frustrations as well. You know, they're not having those response times very quickly with someone in the UK creates frustrations and doesn't help the process, does it? So I think that's a challenge as well.
I think what's become a little bit difficult at times is that I think COVID's become used as an excuse of convenience almost at certain times in terms of, oh, well, COVID and okay, well,
yeah.
And I think it's more at the moment how you face the challenges and deal with them as opposed to using them as an excuse for failure.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, definitely. I agree with that. That's a good way to look at it.
It seems that some of the solicitors have realized that they need to have people on the ground similar to the property agents and have managed to forge ties on that way. I think we're in uncharted territory in terms of how you actually learn to cope with this and deal with the here and now as opposed to just hoping that it's going to improve.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Not assuming that, I mean, this has all gone on for a lot longer than we would have thought initially anyway, hasn't it? And there's reason to suggest that it's nowhere near over yet. So I think that's important. I mean, we've certainly seen a number of solicitors, as you say, either forge partnerships or look to kind of, you know, set up teams on the ground, and I think that's really useful for us and our clients, but really important longer term as well. You know, there are a few firms that have been out here, but it's good to have. We're very encouraged to see more doing the same. You know, it means that we also can spread the business and make sure that our clients are getting, you know, top notch service as well.
So, James, from a business perspective, you know, as you know, I recommend mortgages in UK property finance, and there are other people in my market, but I have my own vision as to how I want to run my business and look after clients. What have you found over the last 4 years since you set up One Global that sets your business apart from other property agents that are based in Asia?
Yeah, I think for me, primarily, it starts with the people. You know, the people that you have involved in the business, that is foremost the most important thing for us. I mean, I've been very humbled and lucky with the team that I created, particularly, you know, when I set up shop here on my own, I managed to it was just luck of timing really, but the old Colliers International team that were here in Singapore came to join me. And then it kind of snowballed from there. But people, I think, is the most important thing. Like-minded people, experienced people. You know, everyone in our business, certainly that's at the coalface on the sales front, are very experienced sales brokers and able to have that trust. I think that's really, really, really important at the moment, and that definitely sets us apart. And that's how we've been able to grow as quickly as we have so far. And that will always be important ethos in the business of having the right people. You know, we won't just take on anyone. It's got to make sure that they're the right people in the business.
Yeah, the Singapore, Hong Kong are very similar in that they're densely populated places. But I often refer to Hong Kong as a village with around 8 million people living in it. It's good to maintain a strong reputation at all times.
Yeah, no, definitely. No, definitely. But yeah, people is definitely the most important thing, and that's actually been very, very challenging over the last year. You know, we've actually recruited quite a few more people over the last year, but without being able to travel and meet those people in person, you know, it's been quite challenging making those decisions. But so far, we seem to be on the right track.
So I'm based in Hong Kong or Singapore or Dubai, and I'm looking at getting onto the UK property ladder. What steps should I be looking to take in order to do that, and what should my expectations be?
Steps wise, I mean, obviously it's identifying where you want to invest. I think, you know, sitting down with a consultant to really kind of analyze and for them to understand what your investment requirements are. Critical to that is sitting down with someone like yourself early on before you commit, you know, to make sure that you can finance it properly. Or you have, you know, if you're buying 2 years off plan, of course that you can't get a mortgage there and then, but making sure that you've got that comfort that when it comes down the line to nearer completion, that you know you are well placed to be able to finance it. And investing into the right area, you know, investing into the right area, but also making sure that the covenant of the developer is very, very strong. Yeah, that's also very critical for us as a business. We are very, very keen to ensure that we're working with the right developers that have strong covenants, that can deliver what they say they're going to do, that will uphold the quality of the product and everything else. So, you know, I think that's really important. If you're an investor that's buying off plan, you want to have those assurances that, you know, that everything is up to the highest standard, and will be delivered. Yes, there are, you know, certain considerations. There might be construction delays or whatever it might be that are out of anyone's control, but ensuring that you know the quality of the developer is very, very strong. And then of course buying into an area whereby, you know, if you're looking to rent it out that doesn't have too much supply, you know, if you're buying into the, as you pointed out, if you're buying into a development that's completed, and it's the last apartments that are remaining, making sure that you are being advised properly and that you will be able to get finance, because that's been a constraint for people that have been buying. Yes, they've been buying because they've been getting a deal, but then they've had trouble financing it.
I couldn't agree more. That's a massive component, and I think it comes down to the relationship between the agent, the client, and also the mortgage broker. I think property agents that just want to sell the property and leave the client to their own devices, it's a big risk for the buyer, certainly. So where's hot at the moment, James, in the UK? Where are you seeing greatest interest?
Definitely at the lower price point, as I said to you earlier. I mean, sub £500,000 is really where we're seeing, 500,000-600,000 is where we're seeing the most demand. The higher end of the market has become very challenging. I think that will come back later in the year, obviously subject to, I think a lot of that, as I said, is linked to travel restrictions. But in terms of areas, the major cities, Manchester, Birmingham, other sort of south of London down towards Kent and those sorts of areas, that commutability into London, that's really where we're seeing a lot of demand at the moment. You know, we're very focused as well. We're not you know, looking at lots of cities all over the UK. We're quite focused as to where we're advising our clients to invest as well.
Do you see Brexit as being a positive thing for the UK property market?
Yeah, I do. Longer term, yeah, I do. Definitely. I think yeah, I definitely do. I think we're over the next few years. I mean, if you look at a lot of the commentators in terms of their house price growth projections, you know, it looks pretty stable and pretty good over the next sort of 5 years or so. But yeah, I do. I genuinely do. I think now we've got that uncertainty out of the way. You know, there's still a long road to go with regards to Brexit. I know Brexit's out the way, but in terms of what's going on in the UK. But yeah, I do. I think it's good.
So if I was buying, say, in Manchester or Birmingham, what would the steps be in terms of going about making a purchase, and what sort of timescales are we looking at?
So, you know, sitting down with the sales consultant, with the team to go through, and after we've gone through that process of identifying what you're looking for, It's then, if you're buying something off plan, it's choosing the apartment that you want to buy. Then it's agreeing that with our client, with the developer, then putting down a reservation deposit. At that point in time, you know, we would ensure, working with the likes of yourself, that our investor, our buyer, is well qualified and can get the finance. Then it's appointing solicitors. Typically, developers will have a panel of recommended solicitors, which just very impartial, but make sure that the process is smooth and easier. Obviously, any client, any investor can use their own solicitor, but that tends to be the way forward, or the best way forward. Then going through the conveyancing process, exchanging contracts. And normally, you would exchange on, you know, a stage deposit of either 10 or 25%. And then, you know, if it's going to be built in 2 years' time, you might have another stage payment. Then we will keep you updated throughout that process, of the construction process. And then it's usually 6 months out, starting to really look at that, you know, your finances, if you're not buying cash, of course, and looking to get your mortgage in place, and then completing 6 months thereafter.
Easy.
Easy.
I would say the fact that you are on the ground in these different places, there are so many issues that can often be unforeseen in terms of buying property. You and I have been in the business for many years and still see things that have never happened before. It must be always rather unnerving. And of course, we are in Asia, and the UK is still open when we go to bed at night, and things often go bump in the night, of course.
Yeah, everything continues on when we go to sleep, and then you wake up in the morning and all over again. But you're right. There are challenges. I mean, you know, the process is straightforward, but there are challenges. And I think ultimately, anyone in this part of the world just wants to ensure that they've got or have that confidence and trust in, you know, who they're dealing with and who's helping them throughout that process. That's really important.
Have you had any sort of nightmares in terms of where a client has had a major problem where you've been able to help them out or dig them out in certain cases?
Problems wise, I think it's mostly, you know, I think the sort of the pitfalls of the problems are when you get closer to completion. You know, I mean, particularly, you know, you've gotten and you've had that period of you bought something and then 2 years. And if you look at over the last year, I think that's been challenging, where we've had a lot of buyers that have bought something 2 years ago coming up to completion, and as a result, what's going on the mortgage market has tightened up. So, you know, it can be quite frustrating, can't it, from buyers if the position changes and you're having to handhold them through that process to get that property through to completion. But no, nothing too out of the ordinary for us, really. Nothing too out of the ordinary. It's really things like that.
And what sort of tips would you give to somebody that's listening to this and is thinking of getting onto the UK property market in terms of where to buy, what to buy, how to do it? What would be the steps?
Well, look, I think in terms of one I always think is an important consideration is making sure that, you know, if you're investing in a property, lots of investors in the past have bought with the intention of perhaps not completing on property. I think in this day and age, that is fundamentally critical to go into it with the mindset that you are buying to complete. You know, you are buying to complete and you plan to hold it for a number of years. That market that was once there where investors are more speculative has definitely become a lot more challenging than it was. So I think that's kind of integral. And as I said earlier, you know, for me, developer covenant is critical. I mean, there are a lot of horror stories, as you know, Neil, out there in terms of, I know that not horror stories, but difficulties whereby that covenant's not perhaps there and that causes problems later on. So I think, you know, that's really, really critical. You know, as a business, I mean, we are highly regulated here in Singapore. I think Singapore is the most regulated real estate market. So before we can even take on a project, the amount of due diligence that we undertake is huge, you know, to make sure that project is going to be delivered. because that can cause problems down the line.
And in terms of deposits that clients are handing over, is there anything that they need to be aware of or wary of, should I say?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. So, you know, I mean, if developers are looking to take really high deposits, that would be an alarm bell for me. I mean, obviously there is deposit protection and how deposits are held, being held as stakeholder and not being used by the developer, certainly the first 10% anyway. But making sure that you are sat down, you know, not just taking it from our point of view, but your solicitors, not, you know, really, really sitting down with them and going through and understanding how that money is being held is very, very important. That's really, really critical to ensure that the money is being held and is secure, you know, to avoid problems later on, particularly if you buy off town.
And the last question from me then, get your crystal ball out. Where do you see the market going in the next 5 years?
It's obviously area dependent. I think generally the outlook is pretty positive. You know, there are undoubtedly, given what's going on, it is very, very difficult to predict, but I would say in the short term there are going to be some bumps along the road. Certainly over the next 12 months. I think one real consideration is the rental market in the very, very short term. That is a consideration. Rents have dropped in certain areas given what's going on with COVID, but looking at the medium to long term, I think that's okay. I mean, the fundamentals of the UK markets are still very, very strong. And the reasons why you would invest into the UK remain, you know, stable legal system. There is an undersupply of housing across the UK. The government are obviously going through at the moment trying to make that easier for developers to develop, but undersupply is still there across the UK, particularly in London. So if you are an investor and you're looking to buy and you want to rent it out, that rental market is increasing. So I think that it all looks pretty positive.
That's fantastic, James. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Around the Houses podcast. Thanks also to everyone for listening. Please follow the links on the screen. Our email address is hongkong.marketing@sjpasia. And if you'd like to know more, hear from James's team or anybody else at St. James's Place in Hong Kong, Shanghai or Singapore, please do get in touch. Join us next time for Around the Houses podcast. But for now, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want to have more in-depth look at any of the topics discussed today, please visit our website at www.ukmortgages.com.hk. I hope you can join us next time for more insights on the UK property market from all of our experts. Bye-bye.